Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, October 9th, 2017, and today's show is titled Offensive versus Defensive. So before we get started, I'm 41 years old. I live in Georgia now. I'm the mother of one male child. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I am studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. And thank you for taking that journey. I really appreciate that. I invite you to get out your own Bibles. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And grab a pen and paper, so if you want to take notes or write down questions in case I don't get to your mic right when you have the question, so you don't lose your train of thought. The guest dial-in phone number is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. That's if you would like to dial in and ask a question or make a comment. I'm also joining Facebook Live, and I'm also going to open up the chat box in case you want to join via web. So, all right, all that stuff going. Okay, so today's show, like I said before, is titled Offensive versus Defensive. Before I get into the show, I like to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. Those that are familiar with the show are familiar with those rules. Okay, so the first rule regarding prophecy is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule is to do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Okay, so a quick intro to offensive and defensive. The offensive is the person that tries to move towards the defense in football, I should say. The offense is, or they call it offense. It's really, it's offense. But the offense tries to move towards the defense end zone so that they can score a goal in the football realm. And the offense or offense person or group is the one that uses force and the aggression. They're the aggressor and also tries to eliminate the factors that might prevent them from achieving their main goal. So the offensive person is the one that's doing the attack. Defensive, however, uses force and aggression likewise, but they're using it to ward off the attack. They make the threat go away. So they are reacting to the offense. The defensive person is the one that reacts to the offensive person. Okay? Now, how does this tie into the spiritual realm? I should say the real world, outside of the football world, is the spiritual world. It's slightly different. So when we exhibit offensive behavior, that does not mean that we are attacking the enemy. That does not mean we're poking the bear. That does not mean we're killing off witches and warlocks and people with familiar spirits like they did in OT, because we don't have to live like that no more. Okay, we don't need to do that. When we speak of being in the offensive in the spiritual realm, it's just being protected, okay, aggressively, on purpose, being protected. So keep that in mind. Nothing or no part of this show is going to be telling you to go out vampire hunting or calling on spiritual wars. And I mean, that's just not. Don't misunderstand the football side with the spiritual side. You know, everything just kind of mimics and piggybacks off the Bible anyway, or piggybacks off of God's people and children and all that. So just bear that in mind. When I'm speaking of offensive, I'm not talking about going out and attacking people. Okay, it's a total different offensive behavior I'm talking about. Okay, so we'll let me all explain it. I took a lot of notes, and there's a lot of material that I would like to cover. One thing you need to know is our bodies react to both sides with adrenaline rushes, increased heart rate, et cetera. I thought that was pretty cool when I was studying for it, because we do react to either side, whether we're the offensive or whether we're the defensive person. Anyway, offensive, let's tackle offensive first. Offensive behavior stems from confidence and boldness. It's on purpose. It's aggression. That person's territorial and dominant, advancing themselves at the expense of others, but not in a negative way. The offensive is the attacker, the pursuit of the prey, the origin of the conflict, and that's the person that starts or initiates the attack is offensive behavior. Okay? Defense, well, we'll get into it. I'll just do them separately. I was going to kind of pair them up, but I decided not to. I want to do them a little bit differently. So really quick, and there's a lot of material to cover. How are we doing on time? Yes, a lot of material to cover. And this is really important, especially in these last days. We already know that the enemy goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. We already know that all day, every day, the enemy, his demons, and his devil worshipers all day long are in pursuit of us. So that's why this is so important. It's not for us to sit around and wait for the attack. We'll get into defensive mode a little bit later, but it's to be in offensive mode, almost like we should be the aggressor. We should be the bold one. We should be the aggressor. You know what I mean? So I'll tie the scriptures into what I'm talking about. Really quick, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Really, really, really quick. And I wrote down verse 13, which I know I like to start in the beginning of the chapter. So actually, no, because I got a lot of scriptures to cover. No, we won't start in the beginning. So you read the beginning on your own time for the sake of, what you call it? I'll start in verse 10. How about that? So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, you know what? If I don't read it, then it's not going to, never mind. I'll start it in the first verse because I just like it to just flow and blend. I don't like, it's almost like catching somebody in the middle of a conversation and then try to jump in and comment on it. It just doesn't make sense. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. That was already a mouthful right there. It's talking about foreknowledge, okay? God's foreknowledge, not our foreknowledge. So that means you already got this. All right, put it together for yourself. Let me just keep going. But I'm just letting you know, verse 2 already says a mouthful. Verse 3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's talking about now, okay? It's already ready to be revealed in the last time. It's no mistake in last time. Last time means that's it, okay? Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heavenness. Excuse me, let me read that again. Verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations. Like I heard something in my room. But, okay, you heard that? This is the season. for heaviness and manifold temptation. And he ain't never lied. But verse 7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Verse 11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desired to look unto. Now we're getting into it. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy. Ooh, I almost wrote on my face. Good thing it wasn't up. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye called on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Talking about us. Okay, whom by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that your love for one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as flowers of grass. The grass withers, and the flowers thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. And then he keeps on going. Remember, we're talking about how to remain in offensive mode. Okay? So that was a mouthful. He's talking about all that stuff. He gave a great list. Let's move on to chapter 4. 4 also gives another list on how to remain in offensive mode right now. I flagged verse 7, but let's just start right at verse 1. Same chapter, same. It's 1 Peter chapter 4 says, forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time pass of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Okay? Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. That's also given a nice little list of how to remain in offensive mode. Flip on down to chapter 5. And again, I flagged verse 8. We're doing pretty good with time, so we can keep on going. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let's just start in verse 1, because 8 is just right there. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Okay, that's speaking of being in offensive mode, of a ready mind. "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensemble to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." And then here we go again with more adding to the list. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." More to the list of remaining in the offensive, aggressive, the attacker, being ready, being protected. Okay? So that's just in Peter. I want to go to Titus. I like the language in Titus. Flip over there. My book is 4:24. I like the language in here. And I have Titus chapter 2. The chat box didn't open, I'm sorry. But this chat box always gives me issues. Let me just click on this and open it in a new window. So we're going to Titus chapter 2. I'm going to just read the whole chapter. The whole chapter is amazing. Titus chapter 2 says, "But speak thou of things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise," that's us women, "that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good work and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own..." Hang on, I want that language. Okay, let's just stay on topic. Okay, that was really talking about employees and employers and how you should be with your employer. But y'all don't want to hear about that right now. Okay, so that's Titus. That's another list to remain in offensive mode. Let's go to Timothy. Let's go to Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy first. Let's do chapter 3 first. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to the list. There's a nice long list of being in offensive mode. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Oh, this is saying storage full. I don't know why this does that when I'm doing a video. Is it still going? Yeah. Verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, and you know, then he goes on and on and on. Okay? Actually, I might as well just finish this two more verses. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's a nice little list on how to remain offensive. And what does it say? If you don't do this, you're going to run into the snares of the devil. It even tells us right after that in verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. That means if you don't follow this list, you're going to fall into condemnation with the devil. Verse 7 says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. This is what's going on. We're not in offensive mode. We're in defensive mode, because this is what offensive mode looks like. I don't think one person can raise their hand and say, I'm in offensive mode. If you can, I stand corrected. I'm just saying, can your wife say that about you? Can your husband say that about you? Can your children say that about you? Maybe you just think it of yourself. Are you self-righteous, or are you really doing this? I mean, are we really doing this? We really got to get this together. I know I'm not. I mean, I'm in defensive mode all the time. We have to be in offensive mode. Offensive mode is what you want to be in this time. They're not playing. They're not playing. All right, so let's keep moving on, because time is definitely not playing either. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, right in chapter 3, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's now. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into the houses and led captive, silly women laden with sin, led astray with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, did I say that right, the names? But as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. This is what's going on. Sound familiar? I might as well just keep going. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. See? Because he was in offensive mode, he was delivered. And I'm not saying if you're in defensive mode, you won't be. I'm just saying the benefits that come with being in offensive mode. Okay? Yeah, he was dealing with persecutions, afflictions, all the stuff he said. Hardcore stuff. Stuff that you and I would never probably get to taste. All right? I'm just saying, but he, what's the million-dollar statement he made? The Lord delivered him. Okay? From all of that. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. So there's the warning right there. You're going to suffer persecution. However, you can be in offensive mode with it, or you can be in defensive mode with it, or you can fail at it. Okay? And as everybody keeps saying, we're not trying to get victory. We already victorious, approaching it from a victorious standpoint is what's going on here, is what this whole show is about. That's like being a winner but acting like a loser. You know what I mean? Like, stand up, put your crown on. You won. You know, so we're doing it in the reverse. Where was I? Oh, 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If that ain't happening now, I can't tell you what is. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect through, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is what it is. Let's go to Romans. I like this. This is very familiar. Ain't no way you've been reading the Bible and you don't know this one. Romans chapter 12, and let's take it right from the top. Romans chapter 12, right in verse 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth, ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Staying in offensive mode with that whole list, right? Oh, I like the way we were warned in Matthew. We got a little bit more stuff to cover with offensive mode. We're going to get to the nitty gritty. But Matthew chapter 25. I don't want to. Let's just get to the million-dollar thing here. This is Jesus speaking. But in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, they asked Jesus a question, and Jesus answered them, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And he was comparing it to the virgins not being ready and all this other stuff. That means you're not in offensive mode. Things is going all around you, and you're not prepared. We should be watching. This is all part of being in offensive mode. Watching, paying attention. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, page 307. I finally got a little more organized, and I write down the page numbers now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a good one. Let's just jump right to verse 34 for time's sake. It's going so quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 says, "Awake to righteous." Oh, well, let's start in 33. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die." Okay, so I just wanted to just point out the awake, rise up, wake up to righteousness, to remain in offensive mode, to be ahead of the game, 41, to be ahead of the game, winners. You can't keep saying, I'm victorious, I'm victorious, but then not be victorious. You know what I mean? After a while, we got to flip the switch, hit our reset button, and really be victorious. Really start doing this. Like, okay, we're saying it, we're saying it, we're reading it, but is it true? I mean, let's make it true. It's true already. Let's agree with it. In other words, let's agree with God about this word in us. It should be lining up. In other words, and it's not. Also, First John chapter 4. This language. Let's start right in the beginning. First John chapter 4 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So that's even teaching us how to test the spirits. Like, this is not a guessing game. This spiritual walk is not a guessing game. It's not a, just test it. I mean, test it out, especially now. Everybody is false, everything, okay? Giving you a little bit of truth and then splashing their false doctrine on it, you know. It's no different. It's the same script, different cast. It's the same strategy the enemy used in the garden, same strategy that works today. Give them a little bit of truth and then splash the lie on it to cover it up so they think they're getting the truth. It's the same lame scam, but for some reason it's working. It's working mightily too, okay? He's not going to be telling us and warning us to even test the spirits and try the spirits to see if they're of God if there ain't going to be spirits to test, okay? And if you haven't asked about the church you're going to, if you haven't asked about the husband that you're going to marry or the wife that you're going to marry, or, I mean, how do you think these spirits are going to be penetrating us? Through humans. And we have to start testing this stuff, start praying and asking about the company we keep. Father God, did you send this man to me? Well, then confirm him if you did. Confirm if you didn't. Did you send this wife to me? Confirm if you did, confirm if you didn't. Am I at the right job? Am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right location? How do you think these spirits are going to be operating? Through humans, seeking us out, seeking whom they may devour. They got to be accessible to us to do that. Watch the people that have access to you. I'm not talking about living in fear. Don't misunderstand this. Remember, the person in offensive mode is not the fear one. It's not the fearful one. It's the aggressor one, the dominant one, the bold one, the territorial one, protecting themselves and doing the attack. And again, I'm not talking about that kind of attack. I'm talking about armored up. You know this is happening because Satan's already in offensive mode. Satan's not sitting around waiting for a believer to get saved and then start attacking him. Although he does that as well. I'm saying he's not sitting around waiting for that. He getting us as little children before you even get to the level of becoming a believer. That's how deep-rooted he is with it. He got Eve right in the garden before humanity even really had to get started. Boom. I'm going to get the first one. Boom. I'm going to get the second one. Boom. Right there. He deals with the root of the attack. That's offensive mode if I ever saw one. So we got to be ahead of him in this spiritual walk, way ahead of him, because he's attacking at the root. He ain't waiting till you get saved. He's not waiting. That's extra added different attacks. He's doing that before you even get down to the altar. How's he doing that? with people that have access to you. So you have to be mindful these days, especially these days, with the people that have access to you. And guess what? They're not going to look demonic. They're not going to act demonic. They're not going to dress demonic. You're not looking for the person with tattoos and piercings all over the place in goth clothes. You're not looking for that person. If you are staying in offensive mode, you are not looking for the goth-looking person. That's probably going to be the lost sheep because Satan deals in trickery. And that goth-looking person that you think is demonic is a lost sheep because you can see that they worship the devil. Satan is not about that. He's about the opposite. Let me act like Christ. Let me act like God. Stay in offensive mode. And don't you do the picking around people that have access to you. If we do, we're going to find out the hard way. We're going to be in defensive mode now, fighting and warding all this stuff off. Or they could have just been blocked from even. It says when the enemy comes upon you to eat up your flesh, they will stumble and fall. So they should be stumbling, falling upon approach, is what I'm saying. Offensive mode and defensive mode, or you can fall with them and then get back up and dust yourself off again in defensive mode. I think we would rather be in offensive mode when they're stumbling, falling before they can even penetrate. That's the difference in offensive versus defensive. So let's go really quick to the big one. You all know this one, Ephesians chapter 6. Everybody knows this one, and if you don't, you bet to get real familiar with this one. Actually, this one is going to take some great study. I think, matter of fact, didn't I do a show on that? The armor of God? I think I did. Check that show out. If you haven't liked my page, it's Shamika Blog Talk Radio Show, Remnant Peculiar Israelite. All my shows are listed there. Check out the show called Armor of God. It's going to be a similar title, Full Armor or Armored Up or something like that. Check that out. So, because that whole armor is an in-depth study of what it's talking about and to make it more clear for you. But for the sake of this show and staying on topic in offensive mode, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just read that. Let's start right in the beginning. I flagged 10 through 18, but this is worth reading the whole chapter. How are we doing with time? It's 9:20. Man, almost an hour already. Let's just start the whole chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. With just those two commands alone. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with thy service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now that's talking about employees and employer relationship. You don't want to be that whack employer that's hiding from the work. You always on break. You always in the bathroom. You taking extra long lunches. You're like no value to the company. This is saying be an asset to your employer. I mean, I know you don't like the language when it says servants and your master. You've taken that and run with it. But it's talking about employees and employers, okay? Or if you run your own business, then you are the master and the people that work under you are your servants. So why does it sound like a bad thing? Because slavery. So they then took this, flipped it, renamed everything, and now they got you thinking this is horrible language, and it's not. It's telling you how to be a great employee to your employer, as you should be. You're representing Christ everywhere you go. You should be saying to yourself, I'm going to make sure nobody does my job better than me. If God sent me here, bless me with this job that's paying my bills, paying my mortgage, paying all these materialistic things that you have around you, that is a blessing from God. And you're supposed to be honoring God on your job, not your boss or not yourself, honoring God. It's like appreciative, grateful, humble spirit. Thank you, God, for sending me to this job. I'm going to do the best job I can to show you how grateful I am. every single day I come in, I'm going to bless my job. I'm going to bless my coworkers. I'm going to bless everything about this company. I'm going to pray for my boss. I'm going to pray for my coworkers. I'm going to pray for the prosperity of the business to keep thriving. Do you want to work for a company that starts downgrading and downsizing, and next thing you know, they out of business, and you hopping from job to job? That's your responsibility to pray for that place of employment. That's what this is talking about. Yeah. That whole place can be blessed because you work there. Yeah. Okay, so don't read language like this and think that this is saying something. Ain't nothing in this talking about being whipped and beat and hung and, you know, brutalized. Nothing about this language is saying that. Okay? So don't let false teachers and false pastors and all that tell you that this is not good language right here, where it says servants obey your masters. It's employees and obey your employer. And don't look at that obey word like it's something. And that's the problem. People got issues with words that involve being submissive in a good way, okay, in a good way. Don't flip that into a negative thing. You are supposed to be obeying. If they say no personal calls before 9 o'clock, you don't want to be at your desk flabbergabbing with your homegirls while you're at work. Like, you know, that, like, that's what it's talking about. Like, do what it says, do what you're getting paid to do. I mean, yeah, it's hard to be that perfect employer. I mean, it's just saying do what you get paid to do because God put you there and you're representing him while you're there. And usually when you work someplace, after a while you start talking, everybody gets to, oh, you're a believer? What do you believe? I mean, you're not really supposed to be talking about religion at work, or like, let's say, like a corporate America type job. But after a while, you hanging out, y'all going to lunches and stuff, a conversation pops up, and then all of a sudden they learn that you believe and you go to church. You're supposed to be slightly different than the ones that's not. Your boss should look different than their bosses. Your boss should be the rainmaker just because you work for him if you're a believer. Everything about your whole aura should be different just because you're a believer. And that's what this is saying, okay? All right. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, okay? So this is the same, not an I service, like when you're sitting at your desk, is but then again, you off at lunch doing, you know, coming back 2 hours later. You know, y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean. I'm just giving an example, but y'all know what I mean. We've all done it, and we need to remember we're hitting a reset button to be in offensive mode, reset button. You'd be the first one to lose your job and to start blaming God. Oh, what kind of God? I thought you said you supply all my needs. I told you to be a great employee. That's part of him supplying your needs according to his riches and glory. You had a part of the bargain to live up to, not coming in and acting like you're untouchable because you're a believer. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. Because you're a believer, you're supposed to be obedient and humble to your employee. Easy to work with, easy to deal with, well-mannered, helpful, grateful, always doing more than what you get paid to do. Let's keep it moving. And it also tells your employees or your masters, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respecter of persons with him. So he's not setting your employer or your master above you. He's just saying, can y'all keep in mind I'm the boss? And if y'all going to do business here on the earth, do it in harmony and in peace and togetherness. Be on the same accord. Have the same goal in mind, which is to bless this company. Okay? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, now this is it right here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with them all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That's saying it right there, offensive mode, having the whole armor of God. That's letting you know the attacks is going to come. Why would he say so? You could fiery darts. Ain't nothing kidding about fiery darts. Why wouldn't we want to be protected against that? You want fiery darts to penetrate you, and then you fire them. Yeah, you could do that. That's what we've been doing all this time. I'm just saying. There's already going to be persecution. We know that. But then there is unnecessary persecution. A lot of it is even self-inflicted wounds that we bring on ourselves by making the wrong decisions, not doing the will of God, doing our own will, marrying who we want, not asking, not putting on the whole armor. That's unnecessary persecution. Why do we do that? That's unnecessary persecution. Aren't you tired of it? I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting tired of it. I don't know. There should be something stirring up in you to just kind of seek more and want more. It is in me. I mean, I'm tired of this regular. It's becoming regular for me. And I want more. Way more. And more is available. Easily available. Already available. Just waiting for us to get it. He's looking for laborers. He's looking for us to stand up and take control and exercise our authority. You got to be in offensive mode to do that. You don't want to keep getting taken down and taken down and taken down, in and out the hospital, in and out the hospital. I won. Ooh, I beat cancer. I did it. Yeah. But after a while, don't you want to start avoiding that year bout with it or fight with it? Like, shouldn't we? Do you got to keep getting it and dealing with it for 10 years, or can you just fight it, speak to it, command it, declare it, and decree it in offensive mode, not waiting till it happens and then try to fight it? I mean, which is, you lost all your, you're losing all your hair. Your family's going nuts, worried about you. Or you can get up early in the morning and command your morning. Or you can speak against that. Or you can be watching the times and observing that there is an entity behind that. Attack. That's what it is. It's an attack. Okay? Matter of fact, I did a show on that called the 8 Prayer Watches. There's things we should be declaring and decreeing all day long over us and our families. Okay? I'm all the way in Georgia. You know why I'm not worried about my son who's in Brooklyn? Because I get up faithfully and command my morning, and I command his morning. I'm not saying things won't happen to him. I'm saying before they do, we're going to get the warning. He told me about a vision he had. It was about a month ago. I spoke to him, and he was saying something. I was like, that's a warning. Get the opening your mouth, declaring and decreeing. You don't need to let that happen. And I did the same. Thank you, Lord, for warning him. Thank you. He has a responsibility when you do that. When you remain in offensive mode, God has a responsibility to kind of back us up. He's not telling us to put on the whole armor so that it could look regular. Once we do that, once we armor up with the Word of God, do the stuff on this list, he has a responsibility to meet his end of the deal. It should go a little bit differently for you. Well, I should say us. It should go a little bit differently for us. You already know that the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. Why do you think he won't try to penetrate your kids as a believer? Because what penetrates your kids is going to affect you. That's going to take away your peace, yes, everything. We go to pieces if somebody is if something ain't right with our children. So you got to understand that and barricade that. That's how he's going to try to come in. Look at all the close, precious things around you and barricade it. Lord, I pray you put a hedge of protection, a fiery covering around my household, around my children, around my children's car, around my children's friends. Why wouldn't we do that? That's offensive mode. Not saying he won't end up in prison if we do. I'm just saying whatever is going to be the case, whatever is going to be the case, we are victorious in it. Whatever the case is, whatever the persecution is, whatever the attack may be, it's better when you're in offensive mode. That's what a security system is for the home. That's, I want to know if somebody's breaking a window in my house to get in. I want to know if somebody's accessed the door to get in so that I'm in offensive mode. I don't want to be woken up in the bed with a gun to my face saying, give me all your money or open the safe because I failed to put an alarm on the door. Or a watchdog. Some people keep dogs inside. Some people keep dogs outside. I used to have my dog inside. And she would bark if she heard anything. She let us know when the neighbors was coming home. Ooh, somebody outside. I like that. I don't want to be woken up with somebody in my house that don't belong there. That's being in offensive mode. Getting that guard dog. Getting a security system. Some people get wiry fences and all this other stuff to guard there and protect their property. Protect their family. Some people get guns to protect their families. That's what you do to restore your peace. Sometimes you got to take extra measures to be peaceful. I mean, you could say you're peaceful all you want, but you're a worrying nut and you got anxiety. No, why don't you take care of stuff that worries you? If you need to get a gun, if it's going to bring you peace of mind, get a gun. If you need to put a security system on your house to give you peace of mind, put a security, get a dog, whatever you need to do to restore peace and feel more confident and bold. Do it. You don't have a point to prove. Just do it. I mean, some people feel like that. Oh, I don't need a gun. God is my protector. Okay, yeah, he is. He is. Declare it and decree, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't start there, and it darn sure don't stop there. There's things you have to do. Check out what he told. Really, really quick, let's check out what he told Job. Y'all know this story, and I think I've spoken about this story a few times, right? Because if you're going to start saying you don't need to get a gun or you don't need to get a security system because God's got you and he's your protector, you left some parts out, boo-boo. Let's see the parts you left out with that. In Job chapter 40, we don't even need to go through the whole story. We already know what happened. He was under attack, hardcore attack. I don't think a man alive this present day has been, outside of Jesus, I'm saying, been attacked as bad as Job, like that and all he lost and all that. Yeah, it was restored and all of that. But in Job chapter, let's go to Job chapter 38. I mean, you got to read the whole thing. I'm sorry, my allergies is, you got to read the whole thing. But Job chapter 38, oh my goodness, excuse me. Let's just start right in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job. You got to be careful when you read the book of Job because God is not talking at all times. It's Job, it's his homeboys, okay? God starts talking. First God, then the angels, then the devil. Like, you got to know who's talking when you're reading the book of Job. In Job chapter 38, it tells you who's talking. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, you run in your mouth, you don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, the storage thing is, okay. Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Okay, everything is about girding up like a man, girding up like a man, especially if you're a man. I've been seeing all down my Facebook timeline, guys wanting a wife and all that. Are you sure you know what you're asking for? Because you're supposed to be girded up like a man before you start asking for a wife. You're the head of the woman's body. You know what you're asking for? And are you ready for that challenge? Let me keep going. Verse 4, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the seas with doors when it breaketh forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I make the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swathing band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further? And here shall thy proud ways be stayed? Verse 12 is the million-dollar question now. Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place? If you don't know what that means, you're going to have a hard time in offensive mode. Verse 13, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Did you know if you get up between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. before the day spring breaks, that you kind of make yourself untouchable? And again, I'm not talking about persecution's not going to happen. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you good. Whatever the attack is going to be, you're good. If you're going to try to be in offensive mode, you're going to have a hard time if you cannot get up between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. and command your morning so that the day spring dawn will know its place, so that you can shake the wicked out of your day. Did you hear what God is asking Job? He's saying, you ain't did that. You steady blaming me and blaming everybody else. But you are not protecting what I gave you, what I blessed you with. Okay, and you can keep on going all down. Like I said, I did a show on that too called Commanding the Morning. I mean, I don't have all this time to keep breaking it. That's a whole separate show, okay? You know, God is a precise God. God is about every little single detail. He's very detail-oriented. And we, as believers, have to become or try to be as detail-oriented as we can be, including the time we pray, including what are we praying for at that time. There's seed time, there's harvest time, there's planting, there's this time, there's calling in your harvest, there's planting your harvest. You got to know what you're doing. And it may sound overwhelming. Start from just opening up your mouth. And if you don't know not too much, do that. If you can't get up between 3 to 6, then don't go to bed until 3. Like, that's how serious this is. If you can't get up in between 3, I mean, it's just a matter of setting your alarm clock, speaking over your day, and going back to bed. But I'm just saying, if you can't manage that, you're going to have a hard time staying in offensive mode. You're going to have a hard time staying in offensive mode. Excuse me. Oh, how are we doing with time? You know what? I'm going to have to wrap this up and do a part two. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with this question. Are you in offensive mode or defensive mode? You probably are not going to know how to answer that until I do the defensive breakdown. But I got to finish up some stuff, and I do apologize. As I said to y'all before, I live and work on site at a ministry, and it's really hard to take 2 hours when I'm on duty. Oh, thanks for joining. Steve, don't disappoint with the Z's, but you always camped out. Thanks for joining. Thank you, everybody. Ronnie Levy says, meek. I went to school with Ronald Levy. Hey, Ronald. How are you? Gina Leggett, that's my cousin. Hey, cousin. Donnie Shear, great wisdom, sis. Thank you for always sharing the most high words. Amen. Love you. Thank you so much, Sonny. I love you, too. Thanks for joining, too, and taking out the time. Thank you. Tani Shia says, I really appreciate how you break the scriptures down. Very understand to me. Thank you always. You're most welcome. Glory to the Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. Tani says, you think about being a pastor. Do you know what your calling is, sis? You're very good at this, and blessed you are. It's so funny you said that, Tani, because I've known for a little while and been kind of a little stubborn and rebellious about it and just kind of stay in my little box platform here. However, I went to a minister and leaders conference last week, and I may be taking some pastoral classes soon. Yeah, it's so funny that you said that. Yeah, I got to, you know, God is definitely multitasking, and that's on the, that's in the itinerary, the near future. So I'm just trying to put it all together really quick. Like I said, I got a tough schedule. But, you know, I can do it. It's doable. So, yeah. Pray for me. Pray that my faith won't fail. Like I said, I've been running and delaying it and just kind of keeping it at the blog talk level. You know, I'm kind of shy and not wanting to do too much, but he's like, girl, if you don't get it together, I'm like, okay, I will. It's like that. And Angelisa McCray says, Titus. Yes, very good book, Titus. Sonny Shea says, I want to hear about it. Walmart be getting on my nerves. I want to hear about it. Walmart be getting on my nerves. Angelisa McCray says 1 Timothy 3. Oh, thanks. Oh, I see what you're doing. You post the scriptures. Thank you so much. Very, very good, Angela. Thank you. Look at the queens. They show up. The queens be here for that. Angelisa again says, Shalom, Aki. Love this teaching. Thank you, queen. Thank you. And thanks for posting the scriptures. I try to repeat it a few times, but you like sometimes people just miss it. So thank you for posting it. Sonny, she says, you still do well. You're on God's time. He got you. Yes, thank you, Queen. Keep teaching since we're all here. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really, 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 really do appreciate that. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Wow. This is good. Very, very good, good, good. Terry Mitchell said, speak, sister. Thank you, Terry. Thank you for joining. He says, that's right. Kendra Slater says, September 21st at 11:40. Well, it says see more, but I'm afraid if I click on see more, I may get bounced out of the Facebook live. Yeah, I know I'm not too tech savvy, but I will check it out after the show is over, whatever you posted from September 21st, Kendra Slater. Thank you for joining. And then he says, great teaching, sister. Thank you so much. Clinton Newsom Jr. says, hello, beautiful. Thank you, Clinton. I appreciate that. Hello. Terry Mitchell, thank you, sis, for your time and obedience to the Most High. Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you. And Humble Ephraim says, MHNC, protect you and all your family. So be it. Amen. Thank you, brethren. I appreciate that. And y'all got to start doing that, like declaring a creed, like let's not be so selfish with our prayers and only worried about our family and making sure our family's protected. Like we're supposed to be, we also have a responsibility to be praying for everybody else's family, praying for our neighbors, praying for their family, our friends, you know, their family. So let's not be selfish with our prayers. Let's pray for everybody, you know, and turn this thing around really quick. We can. I don't like looking like losers, you know, when we the victorious. Let's act like it and do it, okay? Let's make them add an addendum to this Bible about this generation. Well, in the last days, this was supposed to happen, and then they stood on their high lanes, and then they rose, and then they sought the will of God, and then they did what he said, and then, let's make them add a little part in the Bible about us in these last days, okay? Well, thank you so much, y'all. Like I said, I got to go. It's almost 10 o'clock, and I got some things to do before we turn lights out around here, so I do apologize. I'm sorry I started so late. I got a last minute. Terry Mitchell says, hallelujah. Exactly. Declare and decree. Use us, Lord. We're going to be the new laborers that y'all ain't talking about yet. Yeah, I got some stuff to do. I got a last-minute emergency, so I had to run out, and I didn't get to start the show at 7 like normal time. But, you know, I think we covered enough. Sometimes you don't want to throw too much, and then you miss the offensive message. We'll get into defensive next week, all right? So thank you again, y'all, for joining. Be blessed. Pray for me, and I definitely will be praying for you, okay? I'm going to start praying for all my listeners and all my viewers, and let's make changes in each other's lives spiritually, okay? We don't have to necessarily lay hands in person. We can still pray for people. So let's get back to that. God wants us to get back to the basics. We thinking everything got to be so out of this world. Just get back to the basics of praying, you know? God, I pray you bless Sonny in everything that she's doing and cover her and protect her and give her the spirit of boldness to do even more. You know, God, I pray for Terry Mitchell that you bless him and his family. You know, whatever he wants to do. Like, stuff like that. It's a little bit, you know, you got to declare it and you decree it. Father, you said with two or more gathered, whatever we ask for, believe in, it shall be so. I believe that. Sister Sonny and I are praying for this and believing for this. We believe in that the queen stand up more. You said that the women and children are going to be prophesying. I pray that happens. I pray no man try to be a stumbling block in your will. Because that's what's happening now. Oh, women ain't supposed to be. What Bible are you reading? What Bible are you reading? And they're stopping women from prophesying and doing what they're supposed to do. Children, not just women, children are going to be. You have to pay attention to what's coming out of the children's mouths these days. Guess who else is getting it? Satan is attacking these kids. but y'all don't want to let them prophesy? Makes no sense. Makes no sense. They're getting abused and molested and all this stuff at 2 and 3, and y'all tell them they can't prophesy. You're not baptizing them and all that. Why are we ignoring the children when the Bible says then they're going to be prophesying? Like, let's pray for that. I pray that the stumbling blocks be removed. That's why a lot of people are sitting down. They don't want to pass that mic over to the prophets and the prophetess and the children. Just ask God. Test the spirits and then ask God. If he co-signs it, what is the problem? What is the problem? Let's pray for that. Let's pray that the people that have gone too far spiritually and don't think they need to come back and seek the will of the Creator about what they got going on, let's pray for them. It says to do that. You got to pray for them. You know, they think they're barricading that pulpit and not letting the wrong person step up. I get that. But we got to pray for them that they allow that door to be open so you can get that word that God gave them for that ministry. Or whatever platform it is. It doesn't really have to be on the pulpit. It can be anywhere. It could be that your parents pay attention to you. Let's say if you know a child and you know that he's a little prophet in the making, or Eli, God has been prophesying with the child. David was a kid. He's been doing that. Pray for their parents that they take them serious and let them shine. They got a word for us in these last days. Why aren't we listening? And they're nice and pure, too. Children are pure. They're not drinking and drugging and doing all this stuff, so they can get that pure, fresh word from the Lord. Why would we shut them up? Go sit down. Go in the room. Shut up. Go play the game. Why would we do that to the little prophets in our house? So let's pray for them. Let's pray for their families, that they pay attention to them, that that revelation gets revealed, that they don't become a stumbling block in their children's lives. So let's. That's our responsibility. Okay, let's start doing that. All right, he says, Shalom, sister. Prayer is going up for you. Thank you, brethren. I appreciate that. It would be nice if more y'all men started praying for us, queens, since y'all the heads. I should do a show about that. Where is the head? Matter of fact, I'm writing that down. I'm not playing with y'all. I'm going to call y'all out. I'm doing a show called Where Are the Heads? Will the heads please stand up? I'm not playing with y'all. I'm telling you, I have to. Because not only are y'all not standing up, y'all stopping the ones that are. It's going to be called Will the Heads Please Stand. Y'all supposed to be praying for us, helping us, barricading us, having our backs, marrying us, praying for our children. Y'all running around with side chicks, side chicken it. Where they do that at? And y'all glorifying it. Like, it's like the new thing. It's like if you don't have a side chick, you the oddball. Well, be the oddball. Will the heads please stand up? Let the weak ones do what they do. That's weak. That's weak. Will our kings please stand up? Where's the tribe of Judah at? Would they please stand up? You're not bored with side chicks. You're not bored with doing regular. You're not bored with acting regular. You're not bored being broken, not having nothing. Because it starts with you. The minute you get yourself together and get your God will send your queen and everything falls into place. Y'all start praying together, doing the damn thing together. Building an empire together, everything falls in place. It starts with you. I'm gonna get on you. I'm coming for y'all. Will the heads please stand up? I'm gonna do a nice show about that. Watch. Y'all have a good week. Y'all have a good week. And if you are a head that has stood up, get at me. Maybe I can interview you at some point during the show, and you can tell us how you do it for your family. You know what I'm saying? I had met a couple. Oh, I got to maybe reach out to them. I met a couple one time that said they both get up together at 4 a.m., pray over the household, pray over the family. This was like one of the most powerful couples I've ever seen. And he was hardcore. She was hardcore. They was almost like dangerous together. Like, dang, y'all are really, really doing it. It's the most dangerous thing to the enemy in the world. And he's after that. And I can't believe our heads just easily get attacked like that and so distracted, and they don't care. It's like they don't care anymore. So it would be nice for the head to please stand up. I mean, you don't have a choice at this matter. Look how y'all look. And in the same breath be like, oh, you ain't supposed to be teaching. Women ain't supposed to be teaching. Well, who the hell is going to teach then? You ain't. Over and out.